to this broadcast, a biblical word reflection with Brother Frank. We greet from Krefeld all brothers and sisters worldwide in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are very grateful to God for this opportunity to hear God's revealed word. May the Lord strengthen Brother Frank and lead him by his Spirit to say what the Lord wants to say to the church. Before Brother Frank speaks to us, I read a word of introduction from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Dear brothers and sisters, I too can say and testify to this with all my heart. Nothing else has been preached but God's holy word, as the Lord commanded me. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. That is the divine commission given to me, and I have carried it out all over the world for the past 55 years. I'm very grateful to the Lord for that. Today, I cannot extend the many greetings personally. There are such a number of brothers from all over the world who send their greetings, who are joined with us and with the Lord. However, I would like to remind you of two things in particular. Firstly, to all the brothers who pointed out to me that last week was the 28th of February, and that was the day on which great things happened. In 1963, on the 28th of February, it happened. And it moves me deeply when I think about the fact that the Lord has been supernaturally at work in our time. And continues to be at work. But on the 28th of February 1963, the mighty event happened when the Lord came down in a weather storm, in an earthquake, with seven successive thunderclaps, 42 miles from Tucson, Arizona, where Brother Branham was, and there he received the instruction, return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come. We had the opportunity as brethren in December 1966 to see the place where it happened. Brothers and sisters, it is one thing just to hear about it, but quite another to have seen it yourself. I saw with my own eyes the broken tops of the trees. I saw with my own eyes the stone rubble that came down the mountain and lay in the grass below, because it was indeed such a tremendous earthquake. And I say it again, God has given me the grace to have been joined with Brother Branham for 10 years. And to have heard, seen, and witnessed everything that happened. But we will not go into that now. We all know, in March, from the 17th to the 24th of March, 1963, Brother Branham spoke by revelation about the seven seals and generally about what is written in the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. We are just so thankful that we are living in the time right before the return of Jesus Christ, when all these things are revealed that need to be passed on to the church, so that all who will participate in the rapture will be informed of everything and experience their personal preparation. Let's read some more scriptures. But before we do that, I would like to wish our beloved brother in the Iran God's blessing from the bottom of my heart. He's translating into the Farsi language, which is spoken in that region there. There too, whether in Iran, in Afghanistan, everywhere, the message is being spread, and we are grateful for it. Here you go. We read from Mark 1, verse 1 to 3. Mark 1, verse 1 to 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Praise be to the Lord. Right at the beginning, we are told how it all began. Not as scribes have interpreted, but as was written in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, and Malachi 3, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, it has such meaning for me. I hope that you understand it. Just as everything began with God's whole plan of salvation, as foretold by the prophets, so everything comes to its completion, as foretold by the prophets, by the apostles. And let me emphasize, especially by our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Himself. And we will read more about that in a moment. Here you go. We read from Matthew 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Thanks be to the Lord for this word. I have often been in Israel. I have been on the Mount of Olives, looking down through the valley, where on the right is the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the Temple Mount. And brothers and sisters, just as the disciples came to our Lord then and asked him, and he answered them the three questions, so we come to our Lord today. We ask him, and he answers us. Not only the three questions, but all the questions that have remained open in the Word of God, which refer to the end time, and which the Lord answers for us in this time. And we think here of the last meeting. Incline your ear, saith the Lord. Even in our time, we must not incline our ear to any person, but to the Lord, who speaks to us through His Word. Incline your ear unto me, for I will speak to you. And here we have the disciples of the Lord, who were by themselves talking to their master, where there were no scribes, no Pharisees, no Sadducees, where there was no discussion, but where our Lord answered the questions. And it is the same with us today. I have not engaged in a single discussion on biblical issues to this day and will not do so in the future. We, as children of God, come to our Lord, sit at His feet, and ask Him, speak to us and with us, answer Thou, and give us the right understanding to understand all things right. And the Lord truly answered them about what would happen to the temple, to Israel, to Jerusalem. He answered them about what would happen, namely, that the divine message of salvation would be preached to all nations for a witness, and then the end will come. He answered everything up to the return of the Lord, where two will be on one bed, two in the field, two here, two there, and one will be taken and the other left behind. Even to the point that the food will be distributed in due season. And we thank the Lord that the man of God does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And we thank the Lord that the whole word has been revealed. Let us read on. We read from John 13, verse 20. John 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. To this we say again, Amen. It is really so. And we heard it in the word of introduction. Of John the Baptist, the promised prophet, who appeared before the first coming of Christ and at his first coming as a man sent from God, and all who received him went to the River Jordan, repented, confessed their sins, and were baptized by him. They did not just speak of a sending, but they were obedient and were baptized at that time in view of the forgiveness that would be granted to all of us when the Lamb of God died on the cross of Calvary and gave His blood for us. Let me emphasize this once again. It is of no use to us today if we only knew that God sent John the Baptist back then. We need to know whom God has sent in our time. We need to know what God has promised for our time. And that's what we are going to read about now. Here you go. We read from Matthew 10, verse 40 and 41. I read verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Also to this, we can say yes and amen. If there is a divine sending, and the sending is biblically based and founded, whoever passes by it is a blasphemer and can have no part in what God is doing. Only those who receive those whom God sends will believe and personally experience what God has promised and what was proclaimed. We read on. We read verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. That too is just tremendous. It's just wonderful to know that what the Lord has said, and you notice the seriousness of it. Whoever receives a prophet whom God has promised and sends, he will receive the reward of a prophet. And we thank the Lord that our reward will be exactly the same as that of the prophet whom the Lord has sent in our time. We go to the next scripture. We read from 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. We read verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Thanks be to the Lord. Please, all of us, let us read again what has been read. God has truly given us everything in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But he wants to make us obedient children of God, truly obedient, believing what God has promised us, and having a direct part in what God is doing right now. That is what it is all about today. And therefore it is written, today, if you hear his voice, let us also say this again. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And let us repeat, incline your ear unto me. And let us also say this again. Jesus took his disciples aside on the Mount of Olives and talked with them. May these three things happen in our lives now. It is my prayer and my faith that it happens by his grace. We are living in the midst of the fulfillment of what God has promised. Here you go. We read verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This too is a powerful word. The exceeding great and precious promises were given us, so that we in this time might become partakers of the divine nature. When the divine word is placed in us as a seed, then the prerequisite has been given us to become partakers of the divine nature. For the word is God's holy word, and the promises are God's holy promises. And please take note, because it's just very important, not just to say we believe the promises and we are partakers of the divine nature, but to really take to heart and believe the divine promises for this time from the heart. And so, having become partakers of the divine nature, so that in us, who we are born again unto a living hope, the divine nature can be visibly manifested, that we not only speak of it, but that it will be revealed, because we have become partakers of the promises and their fulfillment. Through it, we have become partakers of the divine nature. Thanks be to God for his precious word. Here you go. We read from Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Brothers and sisters, here we have read of the nine fruits of the Spirit. Only he who has been made partaker of the divine nature, only he in whom the Spirit of God could take dwelling, in whom the life of God has been manifested, only where the Spirit of God can lead into all truth, can and will the fruits of the Holy Spirit be manifested. Please excuse me if I draw a comparison. I have experienced the Pentecostal movement since 1949. I have witnessed hundreds of people being baptized in the Spirit. I have witnessed gifts of the Spirit being operated. But in all that time, I have not witnessed the fruits of the Spirit being manifested in those who have claimed to be Spirit baptized. So many misunderstandings, so much disunity. Oh, all what happened there, where people spoke in tongues, prophesied, interpreted, where the gifts of the Spirit were manifested. But the fruits, what have I witnessed over these years? Brothers and sisters, we are now no longer, as Brother Branham clearly said, in the Pentecostal stage, but in the stage where the bride is called out of the Pentecostal movement, where God's word comes through in every way and all the promises find their fulfillment. Let us be honest. The whole Pentecostal movement, and there are the different directions, all pass by the last promise that the Lord gave in the Old and New Testament. They prophesy, they speak in tongues, they talk past God because they do not hear what God has to say to them, because they have not sat down at the feet of Jesus and asked him to speak to them. With whom of all the Pentecostal preachers can one talk about Matthew 17, when Moses and Elijah also appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, where our Lord was, where he was transfigured, and the three disciples were overwhelmed when the supernatural glory descended. But then something tremendous happened, namely the question, why do the scribes say that Elijah should come first? And brothers and sisters, so long after the ministry of John the Baptist, this question is asked to our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Not to Peter, not to James, not to John, but to our Lord. And our Lord gives the answer, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to the Lord for that. And then, of course, when he had to say of John the Baptist, I say unto you, Elijah has already come, referring to John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and power of Elijah. But now I ask all Pentecostal preachers and everybody else to open the Bible and Malachi 3 is thus saith the Lord in connection with the ministry of John the Baptist. Not Malachi 4, because that's how it is directly confirmed to us in Mark 1 from verse 1. And that's how it is confirmed to us in other scriptures. But in our time, Malachi 4 has been fulfilled, that the Lord God sent a prophet like Elijah to restore all things, to turn the hearts of the children of God back to the faith of the fathers. Does a Pentecostal preacher believe this? Brothers and sisters, only the true children of God, the children of the promise, for thus Paul wrote, ye, dear brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Only the children of promise believe the word of promise. I hope all are thankful for the clarity in the word of God. Here you go. We read from Galatians 4, verse 28. Galatians 4, 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Thanks be to the Lord. I have just said it. And I am not speaking today to a Pentecostal movement, but to those who have heard the voice of the Lord. Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Today the Lord speaks to those who sit at the feet of Jesus, who listen to no scribe, to no preacher, to no pastor, to no man, but only to the Lord God, to the word which the Lord has addressed to us. Praise be to His name. You, who can now believe, belong to the elect. Thank the Lord for this. Here you go. We read from Hebrews 6, verse 17. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath.
Im besonderen Grade deutlich dartun wollte, als Bürger mit einem Eid eingetreten.
Thanks be to the Lord. What God has promised is unchangeable. He has confirmed it with an oath. Brothers and sisters, give thanks to the Lord God that you can now believe what God has promised. And please, do not look at yourselves and the circumstances in which you find yourselves. There is hardship everywhere, in the families, in marriages. There is sickness, there are trials with the young people, with adults, everywhere. But the Lord says, be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. We are in the world, but not of the world. And therefore, let us be sober and clear in all areas, earthly fulfilling our tasks, but inwardly joined with God. Even at work, where we are connected to God. And I thank the Lord for making it possible that the last message is really heard by millions in all the languages of the world, and that the last message goes forth and the last are called out and prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. Here you go. We read from Romans 8, verse 30. Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Blessed and praised be our Lord. He has accomplished a perfect work of redemption. Those whom He foreknew that they would believe, them He called, them He justified, them He sanctified, them He ordained to behold His glory. And brothers and sisters, because you believe the promise for this time, you have the assurance that the Lord has foreknown you, called you, justified you, even sanctified you, and has already translated you into heavenly glory. Thanks be to our God for this. Here you go. We read from Hebrews 10, verse 14. Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. And again, amen. Brothers and sisters, say it. Are these not mighty words? All who now let themselves be sanctified by him. Yes, how? Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification, divine sanctification, can only take place in those who have received God's holy word of promise. For only through and in that holy word can we be sanctified. And imagine all those who let themselves be sanctified by him, he has already perfected. Whether you can understand this at the moment or not, believe it. Believe it, because God has said so. He has perfected them forever. The Lord is just so merciful, compassionate, and of great goodness. He has done great things for all of us. Oh, we are so grateful to the Lord for all the words we have read. And I say it again, it is important that we all read the Bible to know exactly which scripture apply when and how and when they come to pass. Also, concerning the end time, our Lord spoke especially in Matthew 24 about everything that would happen before the return of Jesus Christ. He spoke of wars and rumors of wars, of famines and costly times, of earthquakes, of everything that will now come over the whole earth. Every day we hear new news, and again and again, as true believers, we think of what our Lord said in connection with it. When all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We lift up our heads, because, brothers and sisters, we are not living at the beginning of the end times, but at the end of the end times. All the promises, even the return of Israel to the land of promise, everything has come to pass in our time. And since 1948, after the Second World War, we have experienced in particular how all Bible prophecies have been fulfilled worldwide. And we all lift up our heads and know that our redemption is drawing near. We have all grown older over the years, and I have grown old, But thanks be to the Lord God that we live now and may now believe that God has sent His servant and prophet as He Himself confirmed on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I say this again on purpose. On the Mount of Transfiguration, in the presence of Moses and Elijah, in the presence of Peter, John, and James, Elijah truly shall first come, future shall first come, and restore all things. Thanks be to the Lord for this. This scripture has been fulfilled. Everything has been restored into its right biblical stand in the bride church. She has been taken out of all error and confusion. And as our Lord said on the Mount of Olives, take heed that no man deceive you. This word is also so important. And let me say this now. Whoever does not listen to what the Lord has said will listen to what scribes or Pharisees or preachers or evangelists say and will be misled. Only those who listen to what the Lord has said, this He is now saying through the Spirit to the churches, and who have an ear opened by God, they only hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches through the Word. Not what anyone says, but what the Lord has said. May I say it in faith for all, that we no longer sit at the feet of any man, but at the feet of our Lord, and hear His words, and as children of promise, believe all that He has promised us, and shall witness all things up to the promise, I go to prepare a place for you, and will come again to take you to myself. Whoever listens to Him now will also hear the voice then and be there when the Lord returns to take His own home. Thanks be to our God for the finished redemption. Thanks be to God for His revealed word. Thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. And now, beloved brothers and sisters, I ask that we all stand and Brother Borg will read the prayer that the Lord has placed on my heart. God bless you all. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We stand up for prayer. Faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, We thank you for the covenant you have made with us. We thank you for your blood you shed for us. We thank you for the promises you have made to us. We thank you. You fulfill them all in our lives. Amen.
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 Amen.